Howdy ho, everybody. It's been a little while. Took a little week rest there. Because I was running around and stuff. So, I'll give you a couple updates. Getting ready to, I'm really excited about going out to Vegas for my one-man show in the evening with Jim Brewer. I'm really excited about this. A little, not nervous. I don't get nervous. More, I want it to look amazing. I know the show is there. The stories are there. The emotions are there. The comedy is there. It's... That stuff is not an issue whatsoever. The only thing I'm a little nervous about is I want it to look amazing. And I show up on a Thursday night out at South Point Casino in Las Vegas, and we're gonna do Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're gonna go in and rehearse on a Thursday night. We're gonna go see Love. I tell you what, it's a Cirque du Soleil thing, and they did the Beatles, and they took the songs, and I guess they found recordings of the Beatles in the studio, even just talking, and they got the original music, and they're able to kind of put their own stuff over it. I tell you what, I've seen it I think 2 or 3 times already. That's my favorite thing in Las Vegas. I love Love. It is. I remember the first time I saw it. I know this sounds corny. I was crying. It's so emotional and so good, and there's certain songs that I really didn't understand where the Beatles were coming from. Like, I just like, oh yeah, they're great musicians and write great songs and start a revolution in the music industry and all that jazz and took the world by storm. But you forget that they come from the era of right after World War II. I mean, it wasn't... They grew up just after that, and so England and France and Europe still rebuilding after being devastated and bombed to pieces by the Nazis and World War II. And a lot of us, it's the last thing I'm thinking of when I hear any of their music. And when you go see Love, you get little pieces of that, and it's pretty inspiring. And I was really taken back by that. That is one of my favorite shows. So I can't wait to hit Vegas. I always crack up because I think of Steve Martin and his first album, which was my introduction to stand-up comedy. Was Let's Get Small. And he would do this funny thing on Vegas. It's like a 5-minute piece of him imitating every Vegas act. It's freaking hilarious.
And the opening act in Vegas is always like a pop singer, you know? And they bring him out, and he's really good, but he moves so fast, he's got to, because he's got like 15 minutes, he's got to get it all in. I introduce him, you know, ladies and gentlemen, let's introduce Mr. Johnny Duke, let's bring him out. Hey, thank you for having us. Let's bring him here. How many people have to say? Okay, you know what? Hey, Mr. Tucson, I'm in Wisconsin. Hey, thank you for coming. I'd like to introduce the band, Biff, Tom, Jack, hey, Bill, Colonel Adelaide. We got to do hepatitis. Okay, thank you. It's been having us. I'd like to do a couple of gambling jokes for you. Because I got to be me. I got to be me. Okay, Sammy Davis Jr., personal friend of mine. Okay, now I'd like to do a little dancing for you. Here we go. It's impossible to put a Cadillac in your nose. It's just impossible. Okay, now we've got a couple of gambling jokes for you. Okay, the hills rely with the sound of money. Thank you.
gambling jokes for it. And Danny's your tap dancer. Little girl. Thank you. Thank you very much. Steve Martin was freaking hilarious. So I'm really excited about the South Point Casino shows because it's not just stand-up comedy. It's really powerful. And I was inspired, like I told you guys, from Billy Crystal's 700 Sundays. And the reason why he named it 700 Sundays, because he put together, he figured out in his lifetime, because of his father and how much he worked, and he basically only had Sundays with his father and his family, and he just roughly estimated he had about 700 Sundays with his father in his life. It was so moving, so funny. What a great, great play. I don't know if he, I don't know if he's still doing it or touring it. If he does, you have to go see that. It is so good. So this is kind of my rendition of it, my 700 Sundays. And I remember sitting there watching, going, this is what I've been dying to do. But I know, you know, my biggest problem is I don't have great people around me that are really big Jim Brewer. Oh, I know exactly what to do with this. I think that's been one of my biggest faults for a long time. And I'm not gonna lie, I get bored real quick. I get bored real quick. If I'm doing something for a while, after you know a couple of years, whatever, I'm done. It's like, all right, now what? Now what do you do? I'm always wanting to create the next coolest thing that keeps me going, keeps me inspired and all that jazz. So that is definitely one of them. And the minute it starts losing a little bit of momentum, it's like, yeah, nah, I'm out. Even with this podcast, you know how hard it is to go, you would think it's easy once a week, just go, okay, let's, here we go, we're going to sit down, talk on a microphone, and away we go, all right, so, you know, went to the grocery store, like, I don't know, I don't know what you want to hear, although I do have a good month news update on the home front. My wife, in case some of you are just tuning in, and I keep trying to get her to jump in on the podcast, and she says she's ready, but literally, she is like herding cats, and I'm not sure how it's going to go, but I really, really, we've been just trying to start a podcast for over 2 years now, and we will eventually. maybe I could start this Labor Day weekend, I don't know. So, in case you don't know, yes, she's had cancer twice, breast cancer, and she has a thing called the BRCA gene. The BRCA gene almost sounds like a band or name of a song. The BRCA gene. Next coming up is Who with the BRCA gene? Metallica's latest. Here's the BRCA gene. Yeah. Ooh, get the BRCA gene. So. The BRCA gene, if you don't really know it, is, I don't know how to explain it. Look it up. Angelina Jolie has it, and she took both her breasts off. Some of you may remember that. Angelina Jolie, BRCA gene. She kind of put it on the map, but at the end of the day, it's a pretty aggressive cancer thing. God, I'm really not doing well with educating you on this. Your genes or your immune system knows how to fight most things off, and for some reason the BRCA gene disables an immune system to fight off anti-cancer fighting. I don't know. It's It's the best way to describe it. I thought the most entertaining part of it all was, you know, my wife is Jesus. She's the Lord. She believes in the Lord and lives by the Lord. And I think one of the most entertaining parts of the Bracker gene is the doctor goes, "Are you Jewish?" She says, "No." She's like, "Ah, someone in your family is most likely Jewish. You definitely are, I won't say 100%, but it's most likely you're Jewish." Which, by the way, if you're Jewish, can you explain that to me? How are you? I don't understand that. If Judaism or being Jewish is a religion, how are you born? That makes no sense to me. You're part Jew. Oh, you're part Christian. I don't. Does that mean you're part Israeli? Like you came from the Israelis? I don't. Can someone explain that to me? I don't get that whatsoever. It's weird to. How do you? Yeah, no, I'm Jewish. All right, that's your religion, right? Isn't it a religion?
So let me. So your last name is Black.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's like if my last name was Jew, like Larry Jew. Because I'm Jewish.
Well, what nationality are you? I'm Irish. I'm French. I'm German. I'm Nicaraguan. I'm Salvadorian. I'm Peruvian. And I'm Jewish. What? Wait, I don't get that.
There's definitely a Jew in your family.
That's, I mean, all kidding aside, but that's what the doctors pretty much said. And then one was like, "No, it's not all Jewish people." But Jewish people, if you're Jewish and you listen, the Bracker gene runs in the Jewish descent. And again, I have no clue what that means, or I don't understand how that statement exists. Like, aren't you, can you be all Jewish? Like, is that a nationality and a religion? Am I that? I'm sorry, I'm completely uneducated with all that. I don't follow religion. I'm very faithful, very faithful, believing in a God, a spirituality.
On the high holy days, I said, "Hey, you going to Templeberg?" And you went, "No."
Right, because I'm not Jewish, so yeah. Why would I go to Templeberg?
Right, like, I'm a Jew, but not a practicing Jew.
Oi, Larry with this.
Oi, again, see?
It's an expression.
It's an expression.
Yeah, I'm definitely a spiritual guy, man. I believe in something or else, what are we? Just animals roaming the earth? I don't know. I know some people are very Christian and it's the Bible. Whatever you read, it's whatever keeps you sane and morally on path and gives you the faith and makes you a great person. So I remember pulling over and I was getting an apartment. And I was getting an apartment in town because all I wanted was just to live in peace. That's all I want. I want to live in peace. That's all I wanted. I can't stand the relentless arguments, the relentless fights that went on and on. 3-week arguments, 2 months, it would just go on. It was the most frustrating, grueling, it was horrible. It was anger, it was a lot of stuff. And it made me shift my life. That's why I took the radio gig. Lou, I don't know if you knew that, but...
Yes.
That's the real reason I took it. I wanted to be home around those kids. And with my parents moving up, I wanted to be home. So I can keep an eye on things and do the best I can to keep the family moving safe and going in a good direction. Just give everyone some hope for good lives. That's honestly, including myself. Didn't want to go out to Hollywood. Didn't want to go pursue movies and... I wanted a paid gig, I can be home at night. So I took a gig at Sirius Satellite Radio. And before that went down, you know, my wife and I, We were in a bad place, and I finally just queued up. I said, look, man, I don't know. I know this. I know you don't like me. I don't know if you're in the hate zone or you want to... I'm not stupid. I can tell the way you talk to me. I can tell the way you... You're everything about you, you want nothing to do with me. If you want to be with someone else, so be it. If you want time to figure things out, so be it. Do it. But I can't personally live like this the rest of my life. And I am not gonna... I'm not gonna be the come visit me every 2 days kid zone either. I want to be a father, and I'm going to continue to be a father. I'm not going to be a visiting father. If you can't hold up your end, that's fine. I'm holding up my end. And that was a heavy talk we had. I said, I love you. I want this to work out. But I need to know you're ready to work it out. Because if you're not, then we need to figure something out. Because I'm done. I can't do this. And I was on the main road. I had a little apartment set up. It was amazing. It was less than a mile and a half away from my house. And I remember pulling over. I had this complete meltdown. An argument with God. Like, you know, I've been good. I did everything you wanted. I talked with you. You gave me answers. I tried to listen. I did what you want. I'm not addicted to drugs. I'm not an alcoholic. I don't cheat. What do you want from me? Oh, sob. It was a mess. And I challenged you. You exist. You show up now. Or I'm turning my back on you. And I had the darkest feelings. I said, I swear to God, I'm turning my back on you. I'm not believing in any of your horse shit. And that doesn't mean church or whatever. That's just where I was at. And then, I think it was less than a week later. First of all, the apartment fell through. That pissed me off. Guy needed a down payment. I waited too long to give it. I said, hey, I'll be there tomorrow. I didn't show up. And it was like 2 days later. I came and he's like, sorry, dude. I gave it away. I wanted to kill him. Like, what do you mean he gave it away? Sorry, man. You said you were. I said, you have my number. What are you doing? Sorry, man. He said the Mexicans want it. They work in my restaurant. It's convenient. They had the cash. Dumb. I don't tell you.
I'm sorry. Oh, this is awkward.
Screwed up my whole game plan. Screwed it up. Screwed my game plan up. What are you doing? You ruined it. Now what?
Shut up.
I think it was maybe a little over a week later. And I came home. And she was all whacked out. Crying in the living room. She looked at tear. Her eyes were all swelly. I said, you're right. She said, something happened. Oh, God, here we go. What happened? Something bad. Something weird. She didn't say something bad. Something weird. What happened? And she started going the story. Saw this lady in the coffee shop in town, right? She told me to follow her. She wanted to do something for me. Follow her where? To her house. Do you know her? Not really. Okay, so an older lady wants you to follow her to her house. She wants to do something for you. What was the feeling? She was, I don't know. She said, trust me. Just follow me to my house. I want to do something for you. So what happened? And she goes, it was the weirdest thing. I was driving on Main Street, and I just wanted to keep going straight and never go in that place again. I wanted to do that so badly. I said, why didn't you? She said, I don't know. I don't know why. I turned and started following her. Everything told me, just keep driving. And I chickened out. I followed her to her house. And I went in her house. Okay. And then her husband came downstairs. And that's when I thought it was going to get freaky. I went, oh, God. Well, that opens up the doors for me getting freaky. So I guess this is a plus. I can throw in a couple fantasies I've been dying to do. Let's see. Let's get out the book of future fantasies. See, there was the llama. There was the animal section. Boy, there's some crazy stuff in here, boy. There's some weird sections in these fantasies. As of what happened? And she goes, they started praying. And I giggled in relief, if that makes sense. I was like, what? And a little bit of disbelief. Like, what? What are you talking about? They prayed. They prayed? What does that mean, they prayed?
Oh, no, they were praying. They were praying that my life get better and for the soul of you and I and our marriage and our family and this and that. And
I'm like, what are you doing? She was like, I was just standing there. They weren't even looking at me. They were just praying so hard. I never had anyone pray for me, and I started crying. I just got this feeling, and I started crying. I felt this overwhelming love. She goes, I want to get involved with a local church. And that moment, I'm not going to say it was perfect. I'm not going to say I highly recommend it with everyone. But I will say this, that saved our marriage. That saved our entire life. All the way up until everything we're going through now. If it wasn't for my wife's picking up the ball of passion and spirit and God and how she views everything in the lower, you know, that world, I'm telling you, I'm being dead on. I'm not trying to sell you anything. That I would never do. I talk like this with my friends, and you know, we're all into whatever we're into. If it weren't for that moment, I don't think my life would be really good. I think it would be an extremely dark, disastrous, and destructive. And I might not know if I'd be here right now. I'm being dead honest. We definitely wouldn't have. It was earthquake shattering. And the adventures that started after that were just, I don't even know. So all this comes down to this. That's where I started the story. Because if you're intrigued now to hear it all, I would imagine watching that, you'd be just as intrigued. And the stories I have from that moment on, the conversations the two of us had, a little bit of debates, the little bit of the patience that I had to have, it was heavy. It was heavy. Because you're not just dealing with each other. Now you're dealing with other people and like, yo, what's wrong with you? Why is she really religious? You know, I think it was last year, Jim Norton was like, dude, you're really religious, right? I'm like, why do you say I'm religious? Have you ever heard me be religious? Like, and how do you define religious? And why do you say in such a, I'm a zombie or a cult zone? Like, where does that come from? You got to deal with all that. People coming up to you like, oh, you're all religious now. What? Where'd you get that? And why is that such a horrifying thing? It's not. You don't understand exactly the whole story. And you don't understand each view. You don't understand her view. You don't understand my view. You don't understand the struggle that we had even when she went that world. Her pendulum was way on the other side. And it took a lot of restraint, a lot of patience, a lot of learning and a lot of guidance to let her learn on her own and let the pendulum even out. Because at first it was like, yes, Jesus, Christian music, all that stuff.
Oh, Jesus!
I was going to concerts. And even I'd go there, I felt like I was a an FBI agent, nonstop FBI agent undercover. Like, what is going on? What is going on? And I'm just telling you, it is and was a fascinating journey from that moment on. Absolutely. And even in my weakest times, it's just mind-boggling how we both came to terms. We're like, okay, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm always going to be at. And this is where you're at. And that's cool. Like, even when she'll go, can we say grace? I'm like, ugh. I get uncomfortable in public. So when I say grace, I always just say, you know, thank you, God, for everything. Thank you. You know, we may not have this one day, so let's be very thankful for what we have. May use your love and spread your love. And she always ends it with, like, thank you, Jesus. I don't, because I don't know. I don't want to. If it's Jesus, great. But if it is Jesus, he's not going to be mad at me. He's going to understand. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to debate and get into all that. But I'm telling you, if it wasn't for that, so many parts of my life would be in serious trouble.
Madness.
And I thank God for that moment. And it blows me away even more that I was at my wit's end when I came. We were done. Dude, so that's where I started writing. And I hope it comes out good. It's a lot of laughs. It's a lot of thought-provoking, a lot of inspiration. It's heavy, and I think it's more people than you think. Way more people than you think. I mean, Lou, you're listening. You remember those days. And me and Pete were talking. We ended up playing the softball game and all this stuff. He thought D was in a cult. It was a heavy time. You know what's left for me? Beating the living snot out of Pete Corielli's pathetic high hopes of his Devils. Yeah, man, because, you know, Corielli's team is based on fear. They've never touched life. Hey, man, I know I'd have a beer, and it was your day. None of those guys have even had children. And they're in their 30s. What's this world coming to? But anyway, so I need your encouragement, okay? Need your encouragement. So, Jim, I love just listening to the story. Love listening to the story. Keep it going, bro. And who knows? Maybe it'll be just me podcasting all these stories and then turning around writing it. And by the time I'm done, boom, we got the series. And you got the first earful of it. You're like, dude, I love the series. You know, like people watch a movie and they're like, you need to read the book. This will be the book. This would be the book. The stories I got, man. The stories that I got. And I thank you guys so much for listening. I thank you for listening. You're a good friend. You, the listener, are a good friend. And I hope to see you on the road. I hope to see you in Vegas. If you kind of like this stuff and you like music and comedy and blah, 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 you're going to love my Vegas shows, South Point Casino. Can you trust me when I tell you those are going to be some of the best shows I've ever had in my entire lifetime? Lifetime. Because it's an evening with Jim Brewer, which allows me to tell some pretty deep, awesome, heavy stories. So I hope you can make it there. In September. It's like 2 weeks. Have a great Labor Day. I'm going to have a lot of barbecue stuff. I'm going to play a lot of wiffle ball with my little nephew that's super ferocious when it comes to be competitive like my daughter. And we're going to have a great time. You got to enjoy life. We don't know how long we're here. I don't know how long I have my wife. I don't know how long I have my family. My daughter's in school. She hasn't looked back. I still see the smoke from her running. Meep, meep. Gone. Flying, soaring high in the sky. And it's the most beautiful thing I ever see in my life. It's a catch 22. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. And there's part of me that can cry with tears of joy, and there's part of me that can cry of the one little, the part that misses her. But I can't wait to hang out with her as an adult, as a different person. So this was good. This is a good hangout. I hope you had a good time hanging out. I had a great time hanging out. If it weren't for you, I'd be nuts. I wouldn't be able to talk like this. So, have a great Labor Day, and thank you. Thank you guys for being here.